And we're back. Please welcome yourself to World Poetry Open Mic After Dark. Oh, so now you find that sound effect.
Oh, I knew where it was. I just don't play it during the regular show. I don't want to offend.
There you go. Very cool. You're like the only person on our crew who doesn't want to offend.
Yeah.
I don't like to offend, too. I just am so damn good at it.
No comment. All right.
So here's the rules to World Poetry After Dark.
Really? Oh, it's because I'm on a different screen. I'm sorry.
There we go. The rule is no hate speech.
That's right.
Now, you can say the F-bomb. You can do risque poetry. You can work blue if you want to work blue. Or you can just share regular poetry. If you haven't had enough regular poetry yet, you can call in with a third poem that's not any of that.
That's right.
So you're going to want to call in 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Don't delay. Call today. World Poetry Open Mic on Skype ID. Yeah, One Bad Monkey. Now, if you haven't checked out his music, you should probably YouTube One Bad Monkey once our show's over with.
Yes.
A personal favorite of mine is Heaven's Bar.
Yes.
So if you just type One Bad Monkey, spelled M-U-N-K-Y, Heaven's Bar, into the YouTube browser, it'll pull it right up. All right. That being said, we do have some After Dark participants this week.
Yes, we do.
A couple of new ones. Please welcome calling from...
Sorry, go ahead.
Calling from Great Britain, he is Titus.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to our show.
I missed the intro there.
No, that's my fault.
We were kind of splotchy on the intro. I was ready, JT was not, and we kind of tried to delay a little bit. But that's all right. How are you doing, my friend?
Yes, good. I was ready as well. Okay, you put me on the spot when you said I was number one. So I've looked up a poem, which I shall read. I'm really well in tune with Greek mythology, as you know. I've started to read up on Sappho now. She was installed on the island of Lesbos, which has got various meanings to many. This one's called Sappho, Men of Sand. Arabesque. It's she's a well-read woman, Sappho, and she's on a beach with the women who are actually making manly things in the sand. So of course she's trying to tell them to just destroy them. Sappho, Men of Sand. Reluctance at ease more noblesse. It's held with an authority, Lesbos. In love's chamber, man is oppressed upon voyeurism to touch no less. Though our desires to make apparent understanding as the men augment lesser study, insanity urges torment as women virtue is left to ferment. By statuesque, if what we understand closely knit to mingle, shifting sand, this significant allure, a hold of hand, make playful thought our dreamland. History will permit us to allow trust from Sirenum Scopuli. Purity must conceal her mind with dormant lust. Lesbos, free the men to create their dust. That's it, the end.
Thank you, sir. As always.
I hope that was suitable for this time of the evening.
It was. And I thank you for calling. I thank you for all your calls to our show, but I thank you for calling twice this time.
Yes, that's a new one for me then. See you.
See you. Bye. That was Titus on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Some people know him as Titus, some people know him as Tony. Either way, the man is a prolific writer. Yes.
You know you made me throw a rock as opposed to a...
Oh, that's right, because it's World Poetry After Dark. Sorry.
It's okay.
I did it so quick that it caught you off.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'm hitting that key. All right.
Sorry. Snuck one
by my chicken launcher key.
Your chicken launcher key. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you assign them weird names like that?
I could.
Do you have an ice cream truck key?
No, not yet.
Hmm. Maybe we should work on that.
I might.
Someone who would never drive an ice cream truck, please welcome.
Sorry. So sorry. Okay, now we can. My apologies.
That's all right. Please welcome from Kentucky. He is Philip.
Howdy yet again.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello. I am well. You know, it's starting to feel like we're becoming a family. Yes,
we are. We are a family of spoken word art.
I agree with you. I jest only mildly, but it's really nice to have some brothers and sisters, you know, in the name of poetry and literature. I'm honored, as always.
Yes.
Yes. So, I've built what I like to dupe myself into believing is a strong reputation for titles. So I'll throw this out there. Ode to a lovely little queef mistaken for sounds from the family pet.
I love it.
No, right. I'm kidding. I just wanted to. You mean
that's not really the title? Because I was actually looking forward to that poem.
I would dare not do that, but I thought if that doesn't raise any kind of laughter, then I'm going to give up my comedy routine.
Oh no, just keep that stuff coming because I really thought that was the title. That was hilarious.
maybe I should try to write something that would even be humorous in that respect. I don't know, but
that's your assignment for the week. How we give out the prompts? We're giving Philip his own custom prompt. He wrote the title. Now he needs to write the poem.
And it'll be able to be played or said on
June, the first week of June. Yeah.
Right. Okay. For June, for the first reading in June. All right. Yep. Gotcha.
So you have a month.
A month to get it done. Get her done.
Get her done.
Absolutely. No, I'll give the serious title. Playing with some frolicsome lines after rereading Wordsworth. And then I give a little parenthetical silliness here, played in the key of the nearly cloying and relative hyperbole. And here it goes, one of those first warm days after a long cold spell. Wind my way through spring-dappled sunlight, drenched beneath blossomed arbor arches, reflected in vibrant sylvan pools like verdant baptismals, tended by fawns and happy forest nymphs who cleanse winter's slothful trespass. Youthful zephyrs who lilt their whispers, scented from afar maternal shores, acute as they are articulate. Idealized wombs of warm saline, oceans, tears, and opalescent pearls, pink as the sweetened vulva dawn, warmed and reddened into pointillism's sweetest clitoral twilights, dotted with stars and joyous moons, above my drowned gazes sustained by subconscious lungs filled with newborn water. And there it is, feller, short and sweet.
Thank you as well, again, for sharing on our show a third time tonight. Thank you, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. Appreciate the show. Appreciate all your hard work. I hope Michael starts feeling better. I miss him, and I look forward to next week's engagement. So until then.
Hey, Philip?
Yes, sir.
Do me a favor, because I don't have the chat room accessible.
Okay.
Ping Barbara. And have her call. She dropped out, so I wanted to pull her back in, but we'll do it live. So just go ahead and ping her.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Happily. Not a problem. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, my friend.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic. After day.
Got yourself caught.
Yeah, all right.
Well done. Mm-hmm. So that's right. What we're going to do. I do apologize. I did see it, and I was like,
sometimes you know what? Calls drop. It happens.
It drops.
Skype.
It's okay.
Skype is what it is, and that's all right, too.
Phone lines are what they are. There she is. You ready?
I'm going to spring her right on. Barbara, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Yes.
Did the batteries die on your phone, or was it Skype?
No, I think it was. I'm not Skyping. It's just dropped.
No, we always Skype. Even when we're not on the phone, we're Skyping.
Okay, so, yeah, something happened. It just, I think it's the weather. The weather is awful, you know. It's just...
Well, where you're at, it was beautiful here today.
No, awful. There we are. And Philip just told me to call back. So thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Philip.
See, you got the message. It's all crystal clear. Now, what do you have for us for our After Dark?
Okay, so I was talking with, mentioned, you know, I was just chatting with Philip before the show, and it was around dinner time, so I had plenty of time, and he said it was after dark. I said, oh, no, I don't have anything. And then this popped into my head, this beautiful experience that I had when I was first in love with my husband and we didn't have any place to go.
Right.
And so we made use of places that we could find. And this is about, you know, what happened one night, or several nights, but it's called The Dance of Love. In the dark reaches of a hidden secret bench away from the chaos, city boulevards under overgrown, summer-grown trees, a slow stroll ignited by passion, fueled by anticipation, and young loins lubricated by the lust held in check as steps moved us closer to the secluded spot. Love guided our actions as succulent floral aromas surrounded us in a blanket of peace. Our arms and legs entwined as more sensitive parts magnetized with the enticing sensations from the contact of lips on lips moved us ever onward, forcing clothes aside as our fingers and mouths explored each other, a sweet imperative, bodies ignited by the fire of love. You slipped easily into my engorged slippery space in the ink of night ecstasy, on a wooden bench, as we did the dance of love.
Very well written.
Thank you. I wrote that in the car while we were waiting for our food.
Really?
Really?
Wow. The muse strikes you, eh?
Yeah, I just can write. I mean, that's what I mean by... When I can write. I mean, I wrote this with my finger on my phone. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Well, I was waiting for the food. Yeah.
You didn't even use your new iPad your kids brought you? What the heck?
No, I didn't bring it with me.
Well, that's probably good, actually. So. Barbara,
go on.
No, I was going to say, as always, it's great to have you on our show, and I'm glad you shared that piece with us.
Well, you're welcome. I wouldn't have even written it if it hadn't been for talking with Philip, because he reminded me it was after dark. And then I thought about this wonderful memory, because you remember when you were kids,
mm-hmm,
that there weren't many places to go.
Actually, that's how I got arrested, and my wife ended up being my fiance, was being a kid and not having anywhere to go.
And we found this. There's this beautiful place called Kew Gardens, it's Forest Hills Gardens, that's what it is, but it's very close to Kew Gardens, and I lived in Kew Gardens, and we used to walk down the boulevard, and we'd go into Forest Hills Gardens, and it's like a little English town, I mean, in the middle of Queens. It was just so, it was a gated community in Queens,
yeah,
if you can imagine that, and I mean, there weren't actually gates, they didn't keep you from it, but if you kept your car overnight, you would get a ticket, so... They really didn't want anybody from out of the neighborhood being there. So we used to wander around there, and there was this little pocket area, like, covered by hedges all around. And it was really beautiful. You know, just you were secluded. Nobody knew you were there.
Yeah. If I had it to do over again, I think the sheds at Home Depot wouldn't
wow.
be off limit. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
I'm totally kidding. Barbara.
That would have been wild. That would be really wild.
I'll tell you. I guess my wife and I are going to Home Depot tomorrow.
She's going to kill you.
She will. The minute she hears this show, she's going to kill me for even suggesting it.
For telling about that story? Yeah, I think so.
Well, no. I mean, there's more to the story. But, you know, I'll share that at another point in time.
Obviously more to the story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But that's all right. I'm very thankful that she married me and took sympathy on my poor soul.
Well, yeah, I imagine. You got arrested for love. I mean, come on.
I got arrested for steaming up the windows in a 1985 Aries station wagon. But yes, we got arrested for love.
Love and lust. I mean, come on, you know. That you're young, you know.
Yeah.
Young people don't really think. I mean, if I had thought about what we were doing, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, you know.
I think that's how humankind perpetuates itself, is they don't even think. They're just like, I'm caught in the moment.
This is it, the moment, you know. You're young, you're alive, you know.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what?
Anyway.
I'm 45. I'm alive. I'm still going to go for it. And I think that
well,
you, whatever
older,
you want, you
and
should
I still
go for
like
it,
to
too.
Go for it. Yeah. I'm way older than you, and I'd like to go for it.
There you go.
I think when you stop wanting to go for it, that's when, you know, you're ready to hang up, whatever.
I will never be ready to hang it up.
Probably not, you know, but you never know, you know. Life has its, you know, ups and downs. And anyway, I'm going to get off.
All right.
Okay.
Barbara, thank you, and we will talk to you next week.
Yes, looking forward to it. Okay.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on. Barbara, Philip, Titus. Where do we go from here? Now that all the children have grown up. Sorry, that's the whole speaking in song lyrics again.
It's okay. You're okay.
All right, so we're going to go to JC from Texas. JC, are you with us?
Now she is. Sorry.
Hello, are you with us? Wow, there is a big delay.
There is a huge delay. JC?
So we're
going
to go to
JC. There we go. Now she's going to be on the phone.
Hello, are you with us?
Uh-oh.
JC, did you mute us again?
No, because we can hear ourselves.
There we go. Now she's going to be on the phone.
Let's just put her on hold. We'll come back to her. We'll go down one on the list and come back
to
her.
Go back. Okay.
JC, we're going to come back to you.
Oh, you know what?
What?
No, she's not on the phone. Hang on.
How about now?
Not now. Hang on. Now she's on, and that's my fault.
JC?
I know I'm not muted this time.
No,
that was a producer problem. His fifth thumb and his eighth thumb interacted with each other, which caused this vortex, and then some light refracted off Venus and threw them all off. Yeah.
Weird.
That was totally
true. Well, I guess I'm taking us back to Home Depot since y'all wanted to hear
that's fine.
Thing.
Hey, love knows no boundaries, even at Home Depot.
Well, okay, this actually came about when I first started writing. I was on a big forum, and one of the things that we did inside one of the groups in the forum was that people would throw me challenges on how to make things sensual and try to stump me. And I used to do it all the time. And, you know, a lot of times it would just be a little stanza, a little thing here or there. Those all got lost, but a friend the other day I had something up and she said, I think you could make anything sensual, even a doorknob. And I went, sounds like a challenge to me.
Right.
So I actually put this up as a contest, and I had a couple of them that were very, very good. Several that didn't quite, they were good poems. They didn't quite describe the doorknob, but there were a couple of them. And then afterwards I thought, maybe I need to write one and show them kind of what I've meant. So this is just simply called the doorknob, and it is a doorknob, whatever it sounds like. I reach for you, tentatively feeling the satin smoothness of your surface. As my hands wrap tighter, your slight ridges leave tactile impressions upon my palm. With a slow turn of my wrist, I am beneath you, cupping, lightly pulling you toward me until you give, opening the cage of my desired destination. Face to face, tongue and groove, joining two separate entities, locked as the whole, completing the circle. End poem.
Wow, I think I felt the temperature rise about 20 degrees in this room.
All I did was open the door, guys.
Yeah, you did.
I opened the door.
Very well done. Well written.
Really well done.
Thank you. Those are fun to write. I like writing stuff like that.
Yes. I like doing writes like that, too, that are very cleverly worded and disguise what the actual true thing is. Illusion. Wow. Illusion? I don't know.
Right. And you know, a lot of times it's the perception of the words,
yeah.
You know, and how you want to take them.
Okay. You teach what now, English or math?
I teach math, but it's a long story. That's one of those really long stories because I was a psych major with an English minor, and I ended up teaching math.
Okay, so you have an English minor. There is a word we're looking for, and maybe you can help us. Where you lead somebody up to think that a certain rhyme is going to happen, however, you do not rhyme, and it's a different word. What is that mechanism called? I'll give you an example. I have a poem where I wrote, I like my breakfast with sausage and eggs and maybe a side of grits, served by a waitress with long old legs and a big old set of earrings.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about now.
Yes, I do. And I'm trying to think, what is this called?
Michael hit me with that, and I'm like, I know how to use it. I don't know what the actual mechanism is called, but yes.
Yes, because you're anticipating the rhyme because of the form and the meter. What is it called? I'll have to think on that. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, get back to us on that next week. I'm sure Michael really still wants to know, and I really want to know because it's been killing me for the 2 years that I've been trying to find it.
It's not a... There is a term for it. It's just not one that we use a lot. Maybe Cynthia could have told us, but I know somebody who can tell us, I bet.
Okay.
Do you know Richard on Writer's Cafe?
Oh, yeah, Richard... Jenkins.
Yes.
I used the fives and eights for him a couple weeks back.
Yeah, since he teaches poetics.
Yeah.
He probably does.
Maybe he can post it in the World Poetry Open Mic Friends page to where we all can learn it this week.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good.
I will send him a message.
Beautiful. JC, thank you for sharing on our show, for the great steamy poetry that you contributed to this segment, and for everything you do for us.
Oh, y'all are welcome. It is a great time, and I enjoy doing it. And I don't know, since I missed the first parts of the segment, did Boston get to read tonight?
She's about to read, actually.
She's right after you.
Ah, okay. I was not sure if she was going to read tonight. She's got a competition tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Good luck, Boston.
Yes, and she's sacrificing a lot to stay up and read this tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope she does well in her competition tomorrow.
Yep, me too. Okay, I will get off so she can read.
Awesome. Thank you, JC, and hopefully we'll hear from you next week.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. That was JC on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Right. It's such a rhythm for you.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's too late. The moment has passed.
But that was really JC on World Poetry After Dark. There we go.
See,
I recreated the moment.
Oh. All right.
I'm recreating the moment of the doorknob.
Doorknob
actually,
too?
Yeah,
yeah, really good. Wow. I will never think of a doorknob the same way again.
Yes.
Thank you, JC.
Thank you. So, to thrill us one more time, for our last caller for the After Dark segment, please welcome Boston.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm typing on the chat saying it's called a Bostonism.
It's called a Bostonism. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the mechanism actually was created far before you were involved in it. But
well, you know, I just have those things that just happen to me like that, you know? It's what I do.
I know. I do them too, yeah. A lot.
All right. Okay, well, I have a couple. I have one that's called Deep Vibes Along, which is not too long. Or I have another one that's called Hold My Thoughts, Don't Let Go, which is longer. So which would you prefer?
Hold My Thoughts, Don't Let Go?
Okay. So the prompt is an image of a man and woman, and he has his arms wrapped around her and touching her hooey, and they're inked. Okay?
All right.
Hold my thoughts, don't let go. Ignited passions, laced by the gentleness of your touch, it was merely the beginning of a celestial playground deemed foreplay, the production. Soldiered centipede loves illustrious injections, claiming its host an unfaltering victory. The lore was born in the faction of the ink. His careful dissection of the image, cocktailed by eloquent seduction of my virgin canvas. Lost. My mind begins a journey focused on his undelivered, cloaked eyes. Instinctively, I gazed upon his hand, no ring, intrigued. Launching back to his face, poised demeanor, softness, tenderness, integral strength. Prickling interceptions, bombardment of images inviting me. Soul of souls. A quiet serenade through articulated touches. Your body leaned in, beckoning mine, welcoming the brush. Your pen wanting more, remembering the ink was my lure. Drifting. States of cognitive consciousness, chosen rendezvous, encroaching horizons, scattering. Buried. Acute dissection of your chiseled lines lulled my eyes, beckoning my spirit, anesthetizing the pain. The warmth of your presence invaded all my senses. Secretions obediently delivered their approving affirmation. Responsive, electrically charged, unrestrained squirms couldn't disguise my blushing demise. Searching for clarity, reasoning, understanding, remembering the link with my lure, touching me as if you knew. My mind ran as senses skipped, compliantly responding to your cue. Caught. Your eyes foretold as you gazed through the dark fringe, seemingly carelessly, yet perfectly placed, outlined heated intentions. My breath grew in short waves as you etched my heart, engraving my thoughts. Wrapped. The days followed with many a heated session, intentions draped through your markings. Your facial expressions became ingrained, lost, wandering, wandering. Your touch became more selective, seductive. My juices flowed instinctively. There was no more thoughts of running. Soul to soul, we stopped. Souls meld as one, eyes of intent locked, claiming your spot, my spot. Terminally succumbed, etched together, ringed, inked, linked, and poem.
Very well done.
Thank you. Sorry, my tongue is kind of twisted because I haven't had any water since 2.
What? Ooh. And I don't. You have a competition, right? You don't want water either, right?
Yep.
Right. I could only have 20 ounces today, and I had to have it done by 1. And tonight's dinner was a cocktail of 2 tablespoons of crunchy peanut butter.
Really?
Wow.
As opposed to creamy peanut butter, what would be the difference?
I like it chunky. I need chunk because you can like you can revisit it later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
That's such a good rule for life. I like chunks because you could revisit it later. I'm sorry. That was just wrong. Boston, thank you as always for what you contribute to our show also. I'm very glad you're part of our family.
Thank you.
And good luck tomorrow.
Good luck tomorrow, and I hope we hear from you next week as well.
Yeah, I'll be here next week.
Awesome.
Ciao.
That was Boston on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Or After Dark. There we go.
I didn't know you were going to actually do it that way. That's weird.
Yeah, I really am programmed. It's reactionary at this point.
That's right.
My wife wakes me up at 2 in the morning. Would you quit saying the next evolution of poetry radio? It's serious. It happens. Yes.
Sorry.
All right.
Oh, so you got one for us?
I do. And awesome. It's not really an After Dark poem. I knew this would be my After Dark poem because of one phraseology, and that's the whole reason. It's not bad, so whatever. This is one I wrote, actually, 3 days ago. It's entitled Reformed. And this all came out of me on my lunch break. Never write poetry at Waffle House. The prattlings of a poetic madman they can't understand. The mere fact that words exist without pictures, dumbfounding, confusing, and just ain't right. Have you seen their menu, for Christ's sake? Point and order is the name of the game. Intellect wasted on infirm minds tainted by Pabst Blue Ribbon. Nuance falls on deafened ears lubricated by Jaeger bombs. Late night hours spent in prosaic thought under fluorescent lighting. Hearing the babbling of closing time diners as their evening's conquests. The phone numbers gathered. Rejection hotline for sure. The autumn air crisp and thick with the smoke that I exhale, taking a break from my continuous writing. Old friends stagger in, wanting to cure their intoxication before driving home. Greasy food has a way of curing the brown bottle flu. A kindly nod of acknowledgement only, not meant as an invitation to talk. Alas, writing be damned, here they come. Helping themselves to seats left unoffered, conversation arduous as I try to channel the me from my past. How is it that I could have changed, and they are the same old, same old? Certainly their livers are mounting a revolt by now. I remember now why I stopped. The slovenly behavior, the thick-toned, nonsensical speech, the halitosis. Oh God, the halitosis. I must find a new joint to frequent. I need no reminder of the drunk that I was. Never write poetry at Waffle House. And that is actually a true memory from Michael and I, before we started the radio show, would meet at Waffle House. Uh-huh. And I would sit and write poetry while I was waiting for him to come up from the Springs. And that actually happened before he showed up one night. And I'm like, my friends are drunk. Sorry about that. These are old friends back when I used to drink. But
yeah.
That's all right. We all have our own things in life we got to deal with.
That we do.
Yeah. So that'll do it for After Dark.
I'm so sorry.
I finally get it right. There you go.
I know. I'm so sorry.
We thank you for tuning in. For Michael, I have Squatch and myself. Good night, John Holmes, wherever you're at.